washed. Let us pray. Mighty God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you very much for giving us another opportunity to come and worship you, to come and practice the reason for our being. Because the chief end of every man is to worship you and to enjoy you forever. As we begin this year, even as we renew our covenant with you, we pray that you may walk with us. We pray that you may empower us. We do not know what is ahead of us in the next 12 months, but we know that we have a Savior who cares for us, a Savior who is ready to meet our needs, a Savior who is ever living, and his presence is always with us. So even as we sit and I stand to deliver your oracles, may you cleanse me and cleanse these members, that all of us will be able to hear your word, and when we hear it, help us to be doers of your word. This is our humble prayer through Jesus Christ our Lord. Please have your seats. Happy New Year. Touch the hand of your neighbor and tell him the pastor has greeted you in the new year. We are happy to have you in the new year, that we are together again just to continue worshiping God, because indeed that is the reason for the new year, for us to continue serving God. When you see a new year, a new moment, the Lord is saying, I'm not yet done with you. So it's high time we continue to pray and set up goals and resolutions that you glorify God, who is indeed our Savior. The Lord has continued to be my Savior and Lord, and I'm praying for more power of the Holy Spirit as I live for him, as I serve the flock in this church. I pray that the Lord may guide me in everything that I do. We have a new theme for the year. It is there in the bulletin. And the theme is found in John chapter 15, verse 16. I'm sure you can see it there. At the front page, we wrote it there in bold. The verse says, can we read together? You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that you last. So we have captured the last part of that portion, and that is what you have put there on top. So the year is about bearing fruit in all the areas of ministry that we have been looking at in the last year. The 5M strategy is so clear with us, that captures the details of the great commandment and the great commission. And I was looking at this theme, even as I look at the 8 points that we have given there on that front page. Number 8 is saying the fruit of the Spirit is seen in their lives. One way to know that people have matured spiritually is the manifestation of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So I introduced a new M in our 5M, a 6th M, and we are calling it manifestation. Manifestation, and this one is actually focusing on us. If you look at the other 5 M's, it's something we are doing to other people. When you talk about mission and evangelism, is preaching to other people. When you talk about membership, is welcoming people to our fellowship and giving them the warmth and what they need to grow spiritually. When you think about maturity, you are talking about discipleship, about other people. When you talk about ministry, you are talking about service. You are talking about meeting needs to other people again. Magnify, of course, is worship. We don't worship other people. We worship God. But the manifestation is about our Christian character. There is no bearing of the fruit that lasts without Christian character. And Christian character is found in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. That is the fruit that we should focus on even before we continue fulfilling the 5M strategy. So may the Lord bless us as we continue bearing fruit. And the fruit has a bottom line. The fruit must last. Not just bearing fruit, but they must last. So there is no room for backsliding in 2018. No room for falling off. No retreat, no surrender. Amen? So when you start to serve the Lord in all those areas I have talked about, There is no retreat. Everything as we preach the word of God, as we serve, as we do everything, we must make sure that whatever we are doing will reign even after us. When we joined St. Andrews, the people, first people who came here, they enjoyed some fruits that were borne by people who are there before us. So we are saying that the fruits we bear 2018 must be fruits that will be enjoyed even after we have gone, whether in heaven, whether rapture, whether we move to other places, whether we win a green card, whichever, this fruit must last, they must abide. We also continue to ask people to continue supporting the church using the seventh M, the M of matter. We need matter here. Matter in terms of workers, we need workers in the vineyard. We need people to join the ministries around and continue serving the Lord. We need also your tithes and offerings so that we may use it for the glory of God and for fulfilling our five M's. And also we need infrastructure and ICT media support. All these things, we need them so that we may be able to fulfill our five M's and bear fruit that we will last. Covenant renewal is the theme of today. That we have done this severally, every year we do it. And I'm sure you are conversant about the word covenant. A covenant is an agreement or a bond between two parties. And God likes relating with his people using agreements, using covenants. The Bible has quite a number of them. Now they can be grouped into two categories. The first category is what we call conditional covenants, whereby the agreement is about people, mutual fulfillment of certain obligations, so that the covenant may continue to bind the parties. We also have what we call unconditional covenants, whereby it has two parties, but activities are done by one party, that nothing is required of the other party. Now this is what we read in the book of Genesis chapter number 15. When God was having a covenant, which is a very, very important covenant for us, the first covenant, of course, or the second after the Adam one, at the Eve, it is an unconditional covenant. So in this covenant, God is actually making an agreement with Abraham. And Abraham did not need to give anything in return. It is principally a promise by God. That's the significance of what you found in that portion of scripture. But though the animals were brought, 3-year-old heifer and ram and pigeons and so on, and they were cut into two, because in a covenant, animals were sacrificed, and the flesh of the animals was put both sides. And if it was a conditional covenant, the two parties were supposed to pass through in between the two pieces of meat, the two groups. And they were binding themselves in a way like saying that if we don't obey this covenant, may we die and get slaughtered like these animals. So it was that binding. And I'm sure you have seen people who have taken some worldly oaths. I know some people who took oaths in some land farm in this nation, I don't want to say where there is, who went to the river around there, and they cut the animal's intestines into two. And they said, if we don't abide with the rules of the game for this land project, may we die like this. And you have seen how they have died. I know you know an area where directors of land have died a lot. It's because they went and did an earthly oath, and it is affecting them. So if a worldly thing can affect people, what about the covenant between our Most High God? So God decides here that he wants to give Abraham and his descendants an unconditional covenant. And that is why in verse 17, the Bible is saying, even before you come to verse 17, God made sure that Abraham is asleep so that he doesn't use his efforts. You can see him even trying to chase away the birds of prey as they came to feed on the flesh, on the meat. He's chasing them away. He's trying to use his own effort But God immediately causes Abraham to sleep, so that whatever is happening here is not about Abraham. It's about who? It's about God. And he passes in between those two pieces of meat with what the Bible is calling a smoking furnace, a blazing furnace, and a flaming torch, so that God may now bind himself to this covenant. He's actually binding himself. Whatever I have promised you in Genesis chapter 12, that I'm going to make you a great nation, and that I'm going to curse those people who curse you, and that the nations of the world will be blessed because of you, God binds himself by passing through the pieces of meat from those categories of animals. And of course, as you go on, you discover that every covenant has a sign. It has a symbol. And the sign that was given to Abraham for this particular covenant is found in Genesis 17, verse 9. All males were supposed to be circumcised. They were supposed to be circumcised as a lifelong mark in their flesh that they were part of God's physical blessing in the world. And that is where we got the circumcision culture from the Jews, which we carried on for some of us who live in Kenya. So from this covenant, God wanted to call out a special people. This is what he's looking for. I want to call out a special people that would be used to be blessings, or to bring blessings to the people of all nations. And this is what actually forms the foundation of what we call the Old Testament theology, the covenant of Abraham. So he promised land to them, and he gave them the land of Canaan. He promised descendants in this covenant a great nation, and he did it. And eventually this Abrahamic covenant grew into what we call Davidic covenant. Davidic covenant is found in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12 to verse 16, where God is promising the Messiah who would come to rule the nation of Israel. So many blessings are promised there. And of course, the Abrahamic covenant was later fulfilled by the coming of Jesus Christ, who ushered in the covenant that we identify ourselves with as the church, the covenant of grace. The covenant of grace that Peter is talking about in 1 Peter chapter 2. That this stone that people rejected because the Israelites wanted their own Messiah, a political Messiah who would come and defend them from their enemies. They were expecting him to come and establish a political kingdom. But he came humbly. He was born of a Virgin Mary, and even he was put in a manger. The way he approached his ministry, he approached it in a very lowly way. And they rejected him. But to those who believed in his name, he gave them power to be called God's children. That's where we belong as a church. That's what Peter is saying. That stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. And you all know the meaning of the cornerstone, especially for people who build. It actually guides the alignment of the stones, of the walls. So Jesus Christ is the one who initiated this covenant of grace. The covenant that we have come today to renew. And in this promise, in this covenant, God is promising eternal life to us and blessings for those who believe in Jesus Christ and obey his word. So if you are here today and you came and you are not born again, the first thing to do before you renew your covenant is to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and continue to obey his word. And for us who are born again, we are affirming today, this seventh day of January 2018, that we shall continue serving the Lord who called us, the Lord who has blessed us in so many ways. So this covenant of grace is the basis of all biblical covenants that God made. In essence, Jesus Christ came now to put what we say substance to the shadows of the Old Testament covenants, to the shadows of the Old Testament sacrifices. And that's why there's nothing we can put before God and please him, because he sent his own son. And if you remember the seven words on the cross, one of the words, I think the word number six, Jesus said, "It is finished. It is finished. No more works, no more sacrifices, no more buzizachama, chama, no more sacrificing on top of Mount Kenya, taking their animals, meat there and some jae. It's about coming to the house of the Lord and serving him." Amen. Don't waste your time. There's no sacrifice that can come to replace Jesus. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. He He is indeed the mediator of the new covenant. And why do we need a mediator? Because we have sinned. We have sinned against God. So it's like Jesus came like a lawyer, telling the judge of the Supreme Court that, "Your Honor, my client is innocent of all charges against him." He is a defense lawyer who took a penalty and brought forgiveness. Why should we live in sin? Why should we live in guilt when Jesus came to wash away our stains? We need now to confidently stand before God, clothed in what we call imputed righteousness. The righteousness that does not belong to us. The righteousness that comes from God. We are indeed a chosen people, as Peter is saying. And when you get chosen, you feel good. I'm sure as a spouse, when you got chosen by your husband, you felt good, isn't it? Yes, you see the way ladies come during weddings, and the way the ambience and the etiquette of the wedding, the gowns and the smiling, because it's a privilege to be loved. And the other way around, for us being chosen by our wives, because we are also chosen, being chosen as a leader, you can see how people are struggling in this nation because somehow they were not chosen during the elections. So being chosen is very, very important. We are chosen, we are special people. So as we live in the world in the year 2018, I urge all of us to live like chosen people. As you interact in your spheres of influence, in your office, in your business, in your school, in your home, can we see a chosen person, a special person living for God in matters holiness, in matters righteousness, a royal priesthood? This one is very common in PCEA. We believe in lay ministry. That's why we delegate ministry to you. Different from other churches that focus on Episcopalian, where the power is with the bishop. PCA, we delegate everything to you. That's why we have leaders, elders. That's why we have deacons, group leaders, and other people. Because we want to serve with you. It's not about the ministers alone. It's about all of us serving the Lord. And I'm sure a majority of us are taking that advantage. Because not many churches you get a chance of serving. It is with the people who are ordained. A holy nation. Are people belonging to God, people who have been called out. This is the meaning of the church in Greek. We call it ekklesia. Ekklesia means called out of that world of darkness and then being sent to the same world to proclaim the good news. And this is all by grace and mercies of God. Si kwa majeshi wala nini? Not that we are so special for God to save us, for God to call us to serve him. As royal priests, there are other people who could have done it. That's why we should humble ourselves in the ministry. I remember one time Jesus told the Pharisees and the Sadducees, "Even if you don't serve me, stones will do it." And stones are not those stones. It's about people who look like stones, who have hearts of stones, the prostitutes and the robbers. They'll get born again, and they'll come here, get filled with the Holy Spirit, and sing the Hallelujah chorus like anything else. So if you don't serve God in 2018, the Lord will raise stones. And you ask your neighbor, are you ready to serve God in 2018? Otherwise, a stone. Can you imagine that stone, that robber who robbed you of your car, coming to the church and becoming an elder and a minister? When you look at him, you remember your new car. God can raise stones if you don't serve him. So now let's wake up and start serving the Lord with our time, with our talents, with our treasure. For indeed God can raise stones. And this humbles every leader to know that God can raise stones. God can send us home and bring stones at St. Andrew's. And the church will continue because the promise of the church abides. Jesus said, "Upon this faith, the faith of Peter, the rock, I shall build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." It doesn't matter where demons are coming from or their agents. The fact remains that the church you stand because it is standing on a rock. St. Andrew's, you stand in 2018. Regardless of the power of heads, it is going to stand because it's the church of Jesus Christ. Why do we need to renew the covenant now? We need to renew it because we have changed. Tumebadilika. We have changed. 2017, of course, we said you should not focus there. But you know the way we changed. The way we forgot God. The way we went astray. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The way we forgot how God provided for us. The way we forgot the protection of God. The way we forgot the guidance and the love of God and we started seeking love from other quarters. The way we forgot our vows. The vows of baptism, the vows of confirmation, the vows of service, the vows of weddings, the private vows that we make with God, we have forgotten them. That's why we have come today as the church to come and tell God that we want to repent. You're not telling God sorry, because sorry means you can repeat it tomorrow. We have come to repent. Repent means turning. We turn, we make a turnabout, like that one of the Ascaris, and we repent, and we have to do it in four ways as I conclude. As we renew our covenants, we are doing it in four ways. Number one, we must make a request from God. What are we requesting? We are requesting the presence of the Holy Spirit. We are requesting new infilling of the Holy Spirit in 2018. That St. Andrews will be a spiritual church. People who value spiritual things more than any other thing. No renewal of covenants without the presence of the Holy Spirit. He knows the mind of God. He's the one who gives us power even to do and even to will. And to do the word of, and to obey the word of God. Number two, we must reflect. As we request, we must also reflect. What are we reflecting on? We are reflecting on His holy will. We are reflecting on the Bible. As we renew our covenants, we are telling God we want to obey these two covenants, the old and the new covenant, the Bible. We want to know you. I want to know you in a better way. And I'm sure this year, that is my prayer also, that you dig deeper into the word of God, because no fruitfulness without understanding scripture, without obeying scripture, without transmitting this word to other people. Then we come to the third R. It's about repenting. As we request and reflect on the word of God, we will hear the word of God telling us, come and let us reason together. Jesus saying, come with your sins, all people who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. And then we come before God and repent. Serious repentance. As we go through these prayers, let it be serious repentance. God does not joke with sin. He made His Son to suffer because of sin. Even when His Son cried, Eloi, lama sabachthani, He had to do everything. He had to go full blast in matters saving us. And that's why we should repent and be sincere as we repent our sins of omission and sins of commission. And then after that, we must do a resolution. We must resolve. It's about requesting, reflecting, repenting, and resolving that we shall press on towards the goal. And the goal is to do what? Is to follow God and live for Him daily in the year 2018. My question is, will you renew your covenant or will you reject it? May God help us. In the name of God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.